This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan. San Diego's own Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm saying that is Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy Jesus, as they call him.
Jimmy Jesus.
They're going to strip that Jesus part away from him, though, after this season.
And Chris Ello.
Kyle Shanahan is going to be the biggest disappointment in this division.
He's an offensive genius. See, I stopped Chris in his tracks.
It's so stupid that I don't even know I'm going to answer it.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
504 Petco Park, Friar Fridays, Gwen and Chris. Great to have you with us until 6 o'clock, then the Padre pregame show. Tony Gwynn Jr., I'm not sure there's actually going to be a game tonight. I don't want to alarm anybody, but we've been here for 2.5 hours now. I have yet to see a single Colorado Rocky player. Are they really here?
Good question.
I mean, I haven't even seen a coach come out yet. That's what I mean. The Padres have been taking batting practice and infield work and doing all kinds of drills, and they've been out there the whole time. And I have not seen a single Rocky. Now, they did bring out the lineups, so Bud Black did fill in a lineup. I'm assuming that they're really here. I mean, I'm just joking.
They're here. We just haven't seen them yet.
Maybe they don't want to show themselves, being as they are in the middle of a 9-game losing streak. Gwen and Chris is brought to you by our friends at Carl's Jr., and we are getting ready for NFL 2019. Of course, season kicked off last night, the 100th. Season of the National Football League, and many might say that the Bears and Packers set the NFL back 100 years with that 10-3 game that was basically turned into a punt fest at Soldier Field. But the Packers will take it as they get off to a 1-0 start, and the Bears, the defending division champs, 0-1. We will have our first Gwen and Chris NFL Pick'em segment coming up in this hour. Also hear from Travis Jankowski, the Padres, in our Friar Friday segment. But right now it's time to preview our final division in the NFL. We've looked at all the rest. Now it's the AFC South.
All right. The AFC South.
Dun, 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 dun. The AFC South doesn't get any love.
We don't have a bed for that?
Dun, dun.
There's no open for it. I have a
no hoping for the AFC South.
You know
South?
What, Thomas? You're just making excuses left and right today.
I am tired of your excuses.
So, Scraby, you didn't make an open for it, huh?
I didn't.
I'm tired of your excuses, is Rocky
Long. Wait a minute.
Competitors don't make excuses. They just make plays.
Thanks, Rocky.
You knew that you didn't make it, and you were just going to go along with, you know, Scraby messing it up. Thomas messing it up, huh?
Yes, I was.
Trying to throw Thomas under the bus.
Thomas, I apologize, man. Your partner is so whack.
All right, Thomas, you're going to be up first, so let's get going on the first one.
NFC South.
Are you kidding me? Are you joking with me right now?
It says AFC South like you left for me.
Yeah. I don't believe that for one second. But
don't
whatever.
Make an excuse, Scraby.
I don't believe that for one second.
Don't make an excuse. We don't like those on this show.
All right, Thomas, who's your AFC South division winner?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Look at you.
Not the Texans?
Nope. Still not sold on the Texans yet. But I think Jacksonville Jaguars, they got themselves their franchise quarterback, which they at least they hope they do. Defense is retooled and refueled. Good to go.
Hold on, we have some breaking news here at Petco Park.
The Rockies have arrived.
We have a Rockies sighting. I'm glad to see that some of their players are actually here.
All right, let's get back to this. Tony, your AFC South Division winner.
Houston Texans. They're going for it this year. Going for it. They got, after Deshaun Watson was really running for his life all season last year, they went out, made some trades late. They bring in Tunsil. They bring him in from Miami. They shore up a little bit of that offensive line. You got the best wide receiver in the game, I think, still, in DeAndre Hopkins over there. Although they lose Lamar Miller, they make a trade for Duke Johnson. And they brought in Carlos Hyde, I believe, as well. Yeah. So
Great 49er running back.
They'll have a good offense. I think the defense will be good enough in this division to win it.
What do you think, Chris? Who's going to win the AFC South?
They won it last year, the Texans.
They did.
We kind of forget that because they got beat by the Colts in the playoff. I refuse to pick the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because there is no such thing as the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's Jaguars.
They are the Jaguars, and I am picking them to win the division.
Really? This is crazy.
Yeah, I didn't say Jaguars.
No, you didn't. Thomas did.
Yeah, Thomas said Jaguars.
That's why I'm referring to it. I'm not sold on Houston. I think too many late moves here at the last second.
That's
a good point. You know, Jacksonville was in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. I think they bounced back this year. And I am an admitted Nick Foles fan. He's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. And I think that he goes down there and turns things around for Jacksonville.
I didn't know you were a Nick Foles fan. I just thought you were a Carson Wentz hater, but that's good to know.
No, I like both of those things are true, but I like Nick Foles. I do. And I think that he's going to give that ball club a big jump. Fournette's about due for a little better season. They got the good defense. I think they bounce back nicely this year. I'll take Jacksonville.
All right, Tony, you're going to be up next with this.
AFC South, last place.
That's going to be the Tennessee Titans. I gave you guys that a little bit earlier in our NFC South preview. But, yes, the Tennessee Titans will be in this place. As I said, Marcus Mariota has just been – something's come up every year.
Yeah, but who cares? They got Ryan Tannehill now to replace him if need be.
My point why they will finish last, because when they do make
I'm just trying to help you make the point.
They will have to turn to Ryan Tannehill, who we know is – not a terrific quarterback. He's just a quarterback. There's not a lot to really talk about with this team. They don't have a whole lot, which is going to spell them finishing in last.
All right, Chris, who's going to finish AFC South last place?
I just want to defend the Titans just a tiny bit. They did finish third in defense last year in the NFL, and they just missed the playoffs in the final game. And I say that because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl last year.
That's right.
And I want to at least defend my pick, and I'm not going to pick them last. I think the Andrew Luck decision sends the Colts from first to last all the way. And I think it's interesting that Jacoby Brissett is now being talked about as this wonderful quarterback. But when he was the backup to Andrew Luck, I don't think anybody wanted to see him on the field. Now everybody's trying to figure it out that he's going to be the guy that, you know, leads Indy. I don't know. Frank Reich has done a nice job. This is a close division, but I'll take the Colts last.
Part of the reason why I didn't pick the Colts last is because I have a good feeling about Brissett, and the reason why
I know a lot of people do
is because of Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick held teams hostage because everybody was trying to get him. It's one of the few times he actually got a higher pick than usually he gets, that fifth, sixth. He got to get third for Brissett, and I think that's there's a reason behind it.
Yeah, you might be right. Thomas, who you got in the AFC South last place?
The Tennessee Titans.
Why are you saying everything so weird?
He wanted to purposely mess with Chris right there.
Yeah. The Titans.
Yeah, I think the Titans just they're starting left tackles out for four games, suspended. It's just a lot of question marks. The receiving, what's Delanie Walker going to look like coming back from a gnarly ankle injury? Can Derrick Henry repeat himself from last year? I just think there's a lot of question marks, and I just don't have faith in Marcus Mariota staying healthy for a full season.
Boom. Yes, but Tannehill.
All right, Chris, you're up first in this next category.
AFC South, most valuable player.
I think I made myself pretty clear. I think Ryan Tannehill will be the MVP.
You're going to say Ryan Tannehill,
gonna
say, huh?
No,
you're
going to say Nick Foles.
I'm going to say Nick Foles, yes. I tipped my hand on that already. I go Nick Foles. If Jacksonville's going to win it, it's going to be because of him.
All right, Thomas, who you got?
I have Nick Foles also as well because I picked the Jaguars to win the division.
Jaguars, but that's okay.
Jaguars.
Tony, who you got for the MVP of the AFC South?
I got Mr. Deshaun Watson out of the Houston Texans over there. Listen, this guy was pretty good last year with no line. He was even better his rookie year before he got hurt. I expect to see performances around that rookie year, but for a whole season. He puts together like that. He might not only be MVP of this league, of this division, he might be MVP of the entire league.
That's interesting, but it could happen.
High praise.
Mm-hmm. All right, Thomas, you're up first on our next category.
AFC South breakout player.
So I'm going to kind of go along the lines of where Chris was talking about Jacoby Brissett. I think he's going to be the breakout star. I think the offensive line is good for him. Quentin Nelson and a bunch of other guys there. They're going to run the ball a lot, and I think he's just going to be a smart player. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think he's going to be have a breakout year for him and play better than he did the year he was just kind of thrown in there being traded.
All right, Tony, breakout player of the AFC South.
Yeah, and he played in that year behind a horrible offensive line, which was why he was in there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
We're fantasy star. I'm going with Leonard Fournette.
I like that.
I think he finally puts together a healthy season. Just listening to him all offseason about being humbled after, you know, having such high expectations in year number two. And it didn't go not only well for himself, but the entire team.
Mm-hmm.
Has dedicated himself to, he's lost some weight. He looks a lot leaner now. He's still a big bruising back. I think he makes it through the whole season. And because of that, I think he's going to have a breakout fantasy year.
I love it. Chris, who's your breakout star?
Well, I'm sticking with the Nick Foles theme here. And a guy that he's going to throw the ball to a lot this year, I think it's going to be one of the better passing combinations in the league. Not many people have heard of D.D. Westbrook, but I believe that they will by season's end. I think he's an excellent wide receiver.
He's on my fantasy team.
Well, then you'll be happy with that if I'm right. But I just think Foles gets the job done, and, I mean, Westbrook's the beneficiary. So I think he's the one that breaks out.
All right, let's wrap up.
No hesitation on him being a starter before and not having, the greatest success?
Who?
You.
D.D.
No, Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
Oh.
I don't know. I just remember the Super Bowl and he won the game over the Patriots, and I haven't seen too many people do that.
Have you seen the rest of his career?
You remember all the Super Bowl quarterback winners, as a matter of fact.
All right. I'm sticking with Nick Foles. Look, we'll revisit this at midseason, and I'll look like a dummy. But right now, this is what I think.
All right. To wrap a bow up on the preseason awards, we are going to do this, and Tony's starting.
AFC South, biggest disappointment.
Yeah, my AFC biggest disappointment is Nick Foles.
Nick That's Foles. Why. You were just trying to,
trying to
lead
bait
yourself
you.
Into this one.
I had to lead. I had
All
to
right.
lead it. Listen, although Nick Foles did a terrific job in two half seasons for the Philadelphia
Eagles. That's not his fault. They kept taking the job away from him when he was doing good.
Because they had a better quarterback. But
I
anyway.
Don't think so.
Here we go. I'm just saying, the last time I remember him starting a full season, I think it was with the Rams, and it wasn't very good. He had a second year with the Eagles when he started. It wasn't very good. He had the very first good year that got Michael Vick up out of there. So I'm interested to see how this goes, but I think when it's all said and done, Nick Foles will be the disappointing player in this division.
Chris, is Nick Foles your disappointing player?
Yeah,
he can't be in that category.
No, but I'm going to take a little shot at Tony since he took one of me.
Pew, 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 pew.
His MVP, Deshaun Watson, is not going to make it through the season because of my biggest disappointment, the gas mask wearing Laramie Tunsil. Come on now. How can anybody trade anything for that human pile of poop?
I'll be honest
with you. I watched him in Miami for how many years?
Who watches offensive linemen?
Not me. But I will say this. Tannehill was running for his life most of the time.
Touche.
And I think Houston's going to be very disappointed that they made this trade for Tunsil. They'd probably get a little more out of Kenny Stills than they will out of Tunsil. So I think this will be a big mistake for them. And if Deshaun Watson gets hurt by week four, that makes Tunsil the biggest disappointment in the league.
Indeed.
All right, Thomas, wrap it up.
Marcus Mariota, biggest disappointment.
Marcus Mariota.
That's it. We're all done, guys. Good job.
I can't wait for the season, though.
We're going to revisit this around week 8, week 9, right?
Oh, boy. All right. That's the part I don't like.
We don't really have to.
I know. Did you keep track of it all, Scraby?
I did. I took down everything.
Oh, boy. All right, there we have our preseason picks. We will have our week one picks coming up shortly. Also, Travis Jankowski right around the corner. First, though, we pause for a traffic check on Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On Sunday night, it's
been on filling us in with the awards from high school, but more importantly, have fun tonight at that San Marcos Oceanside game.
Okay, hey, Tony, before we go, I did my scouting report last night. I had Aiden Calvert in studio, asked him if he's been working on his stroke lately, and he said he really hasn't because of football season, but I did ask the question.
Good. Well, I'm glad he was honest because I knew he hadn't been working on his stroke because I haven't heard from him. So, all good. We'll catch up as soon as his season's over. Coach, again, thank you very much.
All right, boys, keep it up.
Thanks, Coach. And you guys can all hear that high school football game tonight on the Radio.com app for free. So just download that Radio.com app. Of course, we'll have the high school football games right here on 97.3 The Fan. A little bit later this season, of course, after Padre baseball.
Indeed, the High School Report is brought to you by Lolita's Mexican Food Service, San Diego's best Mexican food since 1984. With 7 locations in town, Lolita's Mexican Food. All right, we're going to step away, pay some bills when we come back. In case you missed it, Friar Friday, we had Travis Jankowski on earlier. You'll get to hear it again. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
Do you want all the latest info on the Padres? We've got you covered. It's Fire Friday, presented by Penske Honda Chula Vista on 97.3 The Fan.
And our Inside the Clubhouse interview brought to you by Penske Ford, La Mesa, Gwen and Chris. We are brought to you by our great friends at Sonic Drive-Ins here in San Diego. Amazing burgers and drinks, all the rest of the great stuff, 8 locations around town. You know about it, so Google Sonic San Diego. Find the location nearest you. Thanks, Sonic. Earlier, Travis Jankowski joined us, our Friar Friday interview. Don't forget, right after that, we will have our first round of Gwen versus Chris NFL Week 1 picks. So, first up, it's the Padre outfielder, Travis Jankowski.
Do you want to know what Padres players are really thinking? We get you closer to the Padres than anyone else in town. It's time to go inside the clubhouse. God, I hope they're all wearing at least a towel. It's Friar Friday right here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's Friar Friday, and we are pleased to be joined on the SDCCU Fan Hotline by Padres outfielder Travis Jankowski, one of our favorites on the Gwen and Chris show here on a nice, cool afternoon at Petco Park. My goodness, Travis. How are you? We all moved to San Diego for the weather, and this is what we get, right?
I know, man. You're not kidding. At least there's not a cloud in the sky, but I guess we could use some right now.
Yeah, we could.
I guess it's probably not that bad coming from Phoenix, where you guys just came from.
Yeah, man. Phoenix, El Paso, dude. It's been so I don't know what you guys are complaining about.
Not complaining. Very happy to be here. I think if anybody had a right to complain maybe a little bit, it would be you this season because just nothing has gone your way. And how have you dealt with that? I mean, I think it's a good exercise for all of us to learn a little bit about how to handle things when things just don't go the way you expect them to.
No doubt. Yeah, definitely has not been hasn't been my greatest year to remember. But, you know, I'm a pretty positive guy by nature. So just kind of taking it back to spring training with that injury. I remember thinking at the time, wow, like, this is tough. Like, you know, it is what it is, but it's 6 weeks. You know, 6 weeks and I'll be back with the boys. Like, not a big deal. Yeah. And 14 weeks later, I'm just starting my rehab. So, it was definitely one of those years that was trying as far as, you know, the mental toughness and everything that goes along with it. But, you know, I'm a big believer that everything happens for a reason. And if I don't know, you know, that reason today, then maybe in 5 years I'll know that reason.
Travis, what were some of the complications that led to it going from 6 weeks to 14 weeks?
So it was the scaphoid that was the bone that was taking the longest to heal. That one had a screw put in it. And just by nature, I guess that's one of the worst healing bones and slowest healing bones in the body because of the blood flow. And this is all what the doctor said, so don't take my word for it.
You weren't this smart about that.
Exactly. I should know all this. But yeah, man, it was just one of those bones that it was just tough to get blood supply to. We did everything from injections to a bone stimulator to try and promote some, you know, some bone healing. But it just takes
took
time.
Its time. Yeah.
So it was just one of those kind of freak injuries, and I guess my body doesn't heal the quickest, and found that out the hard way. So.
How many times since that play, since that moment, have you gone through that play in your head and said, God, if I could have just landed a little differently?
Thousands.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine you can get it out of your head sometimes.
No, and it's funny because even still in the outfield, when I'm playing the outfield now, it's one of those things where I can still vividly remember it. And, you know, the worst thing about it was about two plays earlier, I remember that day Fran Mill was playing left, and there was a ball that he could have came in on.
That's a good save.
And he didn't slide. And we had a pitcher change or something like that, and we all went to center, and Fran Mill said, hey, should I go for that ball? And I said, absolutely not, dude. Like, it's not worth it in spring. Like, this grass is sticky. It's super dry.
Oh, no.
Kid you not, two batters later, it happens to me. So it was maybe me kind of prophesying the future there, but I can't get it out of my head. And like I said, man, I don't know why it happened, but we'll find out, if not soon, then later, why it happened.
One of the things that injuries tend to do for guys is it builds up your mental strength, right? Because this is for you now, 2 years in a row where you've had to deal with some type of significant injury.
For sure.
Moving into September, getting through that, what are your goals, you know, finishing up the season this year?
Honestly, for me, it's helped this team win. I know that, you know, it hasn't been a year that we've been, you know, kind of hanging our hats on and wanting to, you know, write home about. But for me personally, man, I want to stay in San Diego for a long time. I love the direction of this team. I love the city. I love the fans. I love everything about the front office. So I need to prove to everyone that I belong here and I can help this team win.
Right.
So for me personally, I don't know, you know, numbers-wise, I don't think there's a number you can put on it. I just need to be an impact player in the outfield on the bases and every time I step in that box to help this team win. So I guess that's my goal. Goal would be to be back in, you know, uniform next year with this team. But, you know, it's one of those things, I don't think you can put a number or, you know, any sort of average on that.
Travis Jankowski is with us from the Padres on the SDCC Fan Hotline. It is Friar Friday, and I tell you one thing, if the front office ever listens to our show, you're in good shape because we've been dying to get you back in the lineup, and we love watching you play. And it's just been I think it's been frustrating for a lot of the fans. I mean, you got a lot of fans out there that want to see you play, and I think this is a team that you would have fit in perfectly on all season long. I mean, you know, base running and, you know, filling it in the outfield and leading off and all of those things, because those are openings that this team kind of had throughout the season.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm hoping that the Padres will remember that that's the stuff you're good at.
I sure hope so, man. I really hope so. But, it was frustrating for me, too, sitting on the couch watching. And, you know, there was a kind of, leadoff situation and the on-base situation that we've had the past couple of years, and just kind of sitting there and knowing that, you know, last year I, you know, had a good year and feel good, and I feel like I really could have helped the team a lot this year. But unfortunately, injuries happen, and it's part of the game, and bounce back and show them that I belong.
Travis, you know, obviously you haven't been able to play a large part of this season, but you have got to watch this team from spring training through now. What has been your thoughts on how this team has really progressed or, you know, kind of gone the opposite direction throughout the course of the year?
Honestly, man, I don't think there's too much of a regression. I think, I think you see it a little bit with the Tatis injury. Him going down kind of hurt a little bit. But first half of the year, we were right at 500, if not above it.
That's right.
And, I know 500's not great by any means for, you know, a World Series contender.
In the confines of compared to where you guys were last year to this year, though, I mean.
Exactly, man. That was a huge to look up, and at the All-Star break, you're flirting with 500, above 500. I think that was a big turnaround for us. And then watching the games and stuff like that, I can't speak for the locker room, but just, you know, coming back and dropping a couple series right after the All-Star break definitely stings, especially with that new trade deadline and everything coming up. But, from what I've been a part of, the locker room, number one, is awesome, man. We got great leaders, Machado, Haas. The pitchers have Yates and Stamen. There's leaders in that clubhouse that are good guys, good people, good ball players. And they can kind of take these young guys and kind of steer them in the right direction on what to do. And the team chemistry is unbelievable. I haven't been on a team like this since college. And, you know, that college team went to the College World Series. So it was one of those things where the team chemistry really does have an effect on how you play out there, and you know, you're pulling for each other and you got each other's back. So I'm sure you know it's that team chemistry, man, that goes a long way.
It goes a really long way.
I'm glad you mentioned college, because I have to ask you about a day in the life of a baseball player at Stony Brook. You probably get asked all the time. But the fact that you got to a College World Series with Stony Brook, I think is one of the great achievements in college baseball history. Mr. Gwynn's alma mater and mine, the same, had never made it to a College World Series. And San Diego State's had
some pretty
good...
I didn't know where you were going at first.
Yeah,
like, I don't
we
think
got
we've
some pretty good
that.
Teams down there and some pretty good players. But Stony Brook's been to the World Series. What do you remember about life at Stony Brook and being part of that team? And that must have just been an amazing special year.
Yeah. Honestly, it's going back to that team chemistry. We had a good team. It was funny because I remember, back like the first week of college, back in August of that year, that the 2012 team, we're all sitting around the baseball house hanging out, and we're like, man, it'd be cool to go to the College World Series, but
I think every baseball house has that conversation. Because <Yeah. laughs> I know we had it 3 years straight, and it didn't quite work out that way.
Yeah, how cool it'd be to get all the gear and the duffel bag and the new cleats and all that and all the hype. But it was just kind of one of those things. It was like, yeah, it'd be cool, but we'll see. You know, we had a good team, but we'll see. We're Stony Brook. and then, you know, we had a really good year. We had a really good year the year before. Nick Tropiano was our ace. He's with the Angels now. And he kind of led that team, and then he got drafted and left the boys behind. But we we had a good team, a lot of guys fill in, but it was one of those things where, obviously, from the Northeast, not a lot of teams go to the College World Series from the Northeast. So
nope.
I remember had a good year. I think we had 52 wins or something, went down to the Miami Regional, played Miami game one, beat Miami. We were like, well, that's the highlight, boys. Like, we
right. Our job is done.
Yeah. Lost the next game and then came back and somehow won that regional, won three in a row. And then we were like, all right, that's the highlight, boys. We're going to LSU. Like, we better strap it on because LSU is a good team in that stadium. Lost the first game there, won the next two, and it was one of those things where it was like,
oh my gosh, we're in the World Series.
Yeah, like, how did that just happen? You know, I think if you ask the coaches, ask all the guys, it was like, you remember bits and pieces of it, but no one remembers the whole game, dude. Everyone was so locked in. It was just taking it. I know it's a cliche, but one pitch at a time, one out at a time, man. And it was one of those things. We got hot at the right time, and we just kept rolling.
This is going to sound crazy, but, I mean, this team is really young. You probably find yourself in more of a leadership role being one of the vets on the team. What has been that process like? I know you've been away for a little bit, but when you've been around, I see guys talking to you often. What has that kind of been like for you? Because that's got to be a change for you in your career.
It's different for me, man. I'm not much of a hype, rah-rah guy.
Right.
Obviously, I cheer for the boys, but I'm never going to get in someone unless they truly deserve it. You know,
right.
I'm more of a lead-by-example type. So it's been a bit of a, I guess, culture shock for me to have younger guys come up to me and ask me questions about this, and this, because I've never been that guy, you know.
I'd
just go out and do it and play, and, you know, that's how I play. Play hard, man. You know, play the game the right way. That's
right,
what you do.
Right, right.
But now, you know, with these younger guys kind of, hey, man, like, he threw a 0-2 fastball that just got crushed there. Well, why do you think he threw that? Well, I don't know, man. Like, let's go through the at-bat. So it's kind of walking young guys through the at-bat, walking young guys through, obviously, in the role I'm in now, you know, pinch hitting. You know,
right.
How do you prepare for that pinch hit role?
Not an easy job.
Not easy at all, man. You got one at-bat to live or die with.
Right.
So, you know, it's just letting them know, like, all right, dude, so in the fourth inning, you know, you get loose, get the body loose. Fifth inning, T-work. Sixth inning, flips. And, you know, that can also depend on how the pitcher's doing
right,
that day.
You know,
it's one of those things where you should have a routine, but that routine can change as far as time-wise goes every single day. So, yeah, being that leader in the clubhouse is definitely a new thing for me. I like it, and, you know, I'm always here for the guys, for the younger guys, and honestly anyone. So if they got a question, they can come up and ask.
I hope everybody out there listening gets a little idea why Travis Jankowski is one of everybody's favorite guys on this roster. Just a terrific guy, terrific teammate.
Rob Ross running, walking
Rob
by
Ross,
saying,
don't
shaking
do that
his
next
head
time.
No.
Because I was trying to be sincere. But, Travis, thanks so much for the time. Let's hope things start going your way again. And we look forward to seeing you back in, I guess, next year. And it will be brown and yellow the whole team, the whole season. But, stick around this Padre organization because they need you, and hopefully we get to keep you here in San Diego.
No doubt. I'd love it. Thank you guys for having me.
Travis Jankowski right there inside the clubhouse, brought to you by Penske Ford La Mesa. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. We are coming up on the Padre pregame show here shortly. Padres and the Colorado Rockies starting off a three-game series tonight. Padres have dropped three in a row. That's nothing. The Rockies have dropped 9 in a row. Somebody's going to get one tonight. Hopefully the guys in
there has to be a winner.
Brand-
No ties in baseball.
No ties, no crying in baseball. All right. It is now the time of the show. By the way, thanks, Scraby, for putting together an unbelievably packed show today and only making about 12 mistakes along the way.
I was like, where is this going?
But, you know, there was a lot of moving parts to it, Tony.
There was.
So you can understand, you know, his confusion. But this was a better than your average show today. Nice job, Scraby. But we have arrived at the time of the show where we are going to do our first NFL Pick'em segment of the new season. Obviously, we kind of mutually agreed, since we didn't have much of a show yesterday time-wise, to just...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pass on the Packer-Bear game. Now, we don't pick every game, though. We do it a little bit differently. We each pick a three-point game, not involving the spread. We pick a two-point game and a one-point game. So the maximum you can earn is 6 points if you get all three of those right. And then the biggie at the end is we have to pick one team that is underdog to win straight up. And if that team does win, then we get the points that they are underdog by.
Correct.
For instance, last night the Packers were underdogs by 3. So had we picked one of us picked the Packers, we would have earned 3 points for that. We will keep track of the points throughout the season. It's a fun game. We enjoy. Hope you'll enjoy as well. Without blabbing about it too much, I won last year.
Without blabbing about
I don't want to get too into it. I don't want to get into it too much. And I thought, you know, since I was winner, I would be, you know, honorable and give you the first pick in week one this season, but you don't want it.
No,
You think that I should get it.
You should get it. You're the defending champ. You should get to go
first.
All
right, so this is the year you get me back. So we look at the entire schedule, obviously, for week one. The three-point game, obviously.
Thomas, where's our music, man?
Yeah, we have a little NFL music, Thomas, something? Come on, Thomas.
Here we go.
Okay, NFL fans, it's time for NFL Pick'em. But not like boring Pick'em like all the other sports radio shows. We see who's the best in Gwynn versus Chris. NFL Pick'em Edition on 97.3, The Fan, The Fan, The Fan.
I forgot about that.
I did, too.
Forgot we even had that. Way to go, Thomas. Way to dig that out of the mothballs. Okay, here we go. So I get my choice of any game on the board. And again, we do not use the spread for these picks. So obviously, I'm trying to pick a game that I obviously think will be a winner because it's a three-point game. And I think the most obvious game on the board this week is the Seattle Seahawks at home defeating the Cincinnati Bengals. I always feel it's tough for the Eastern time zone teams to travel all the way out west. So I think Seahawks have a better than average chance of holding on to the home field and winning that game. So I will take the Seahawks as my three-point pick this week. And that leaves all the rest of the games for you to make your three-point pick.
My three-point pick will be the Philadelphia Eagles over the Washington Redskins. I think the Washington Redskins start their march towards last place in the NFC East.
Probably.
And Philadelphia is going to help them do that.
Philadelphia is the three-point pick for Tony Gwynn Jr. All right, so now it is a two-point pick. A little bit tougher, obviously. Those two games are off the board. Let's see here. I have trouble just loving the Dallas Cowboys. I really do, but you know, Barkley could win the game by himself, but if he does, so be it. I'll take Dallas at home as my two-point pick.
All right. That is now off the board. For my two-point pick, I will take...
Be careful now.
I'm going to take Baltimore
at
Miami.
Thank you. Every time you picked against Miami last year, they won.
They did.
I don't know how, but they did. So I'm glad you picked against them. All right, so if Baltimore wins that game, obviously, then that's 2 points for Tony. All right, now the one-point game, usually the toughest of the group. Chargers are a possibility, but I never like to pick the Chargers, and maybe Jacoby Brissett will just be as great as everybody thinks he is. So I'm going to stay away from that. And I'm going to take the surest thing in sports, I guess. And it, you know, nothing's a sure thing, but the New England Patriots at home. I don't think they lost a game at home last year. So I'll go with the Patriots over the – even though they got a tough game Sunday night against the Steelers, I'll take New England as my one-point pick.
Okay. My one-point pick will be the New York Jets over the Buffalo Bills.
All right. Jets.
Jets got a
home. You do like the Jets this year.
I do.
We did our AFC East picks, I think, yesterday, and you were all over Jets.
Yeah, I didn't have them winning anything. I just think that they – I think they got some good players on their team.
You had them as the best of the rest in that AFC East. All right, so now the board opens back up here again for the upset pick. The only caveat here is you cannot pick
a game that's already
a
been
game that you've picked.
Right.
I could pick one that you picked, but not one that I've picked.
Right.
So, like, I took Seattle as my three-point game. I cannot take Cincinnati as my upset pick.
Correct.
Because I've already picked against them. But I can pick one of the games you picked. I'm not going to in this instance, but that is available to me. My upset pick is going to be a five-pointer this week. And if you heard our segment on the AFC South earlier, this team was bad-mouthed to no end. And I think they probably heard that segment. And they're going to come in here riled up. The Cleveland Browns have all these expectations this year. And they're going to run out on the field and fall flat on their face in week one. And the Tennessee Titans will pull off the upset at Cleveland. And if they do, I will earn 5 points.
Yep, that was one that I felt good about as well. Can't pick it now. But good thing I feel good about another upset.
Okay.
And it's actually a game that you picked.
Right.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh over New England.
And that's also 5 points.
That is also 5 points.
All right. So that one will be a big swing game for us, the Sunday night game. All right, so there's our picks for week one. We'll give you the results on Monday. I've got the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Patriots. Tony's got the Eagles, the Ravens, and the Jets. My upset pick this week is Tennessee, and Tony's upset pick is Pittsburgh. And remember, those upset picks, you have to win straight out. You can't just beat the spread. You got to win the game to get the upset points. All right, we'll see how it goes. Last year, it was very close, actually, all year. What happened was I think I got a little ahead at the end, and then you started.
I had to pick a
you went for some long shots there to try and catch up, and it didn't happen. So we'll see this year how it turns out, but there's our pick segment. All right, Scraby, you did a pretty good show, but you left us 6 minutes short. So now what do we do?
Got nothing. We can talk about Antonio Brown again.
Yes, you did have something there. What happened? What did there was some Pittsburgh Steeler came out today with something.
Oh, you know. This is
that is it just it's just is it dirty laundry?
It really wasn't dirty laundry. You said he never seen a guy go from being one of the best dudes on the team from a clubhouse standpoint to completely a guy that you didn't recognize.
I think the fact, you know, somebody brought this up in our Ben Higgins brought it up in our roundtable show yesterday when we were talking NFL, and he said, you know, it's not his place to assume or predict anything has happened to Antonio Brown, but his behavior does suggest, and I hope it's all wrong, but his behavior has just been a little off kilter the last couple of years. And this comment kind of backs it up. I always thought he was a pretty good dude. And last year he was a tough guy to deal with in Pittsburgh, and obviously he's been a tough guy to deal with this year in Oakland.
For 6 years in Pittsburgh, we heard nothing but good things from Antonio about Antonio Brown.
And he seems very likable. If you watched Hard Knocks, I had no problems. I liked him, and I didn't, you know, I could understand a little bit his helmet thing, but I think he made too big of a deal out of it. The foot problem was a serious problem. I mean, he definitely had injuries.
Yeah, no, if you nobody's saw those, running with those dogs.
Anybody saw those dogs, you know, those were barking.
I, you know what's interesting is, you know, oftentimes, and what Ben, that did catch my attention, what Ben said, because, I mean, none of us know for a fact, but it does make some sense, right? I mean, he had, like, no incidents, and then he got in trouble for driving too fast, and then he videotaped the locker room after a big win, and it just seeming, and that was all after the first 6 years. It seems like it's been one thing after another after that.
Yeah.
You just hope that he can get some help if that is the case, and if not, you just hope he can get back on track with just playing football again and being a decent dude.
Yeah, if you did miss the news, by the way, earlier today, the Raiders announced that Antonio Brown has apologized. He will play Monday night after being originally looked like he was going to get suspended. But as I joked earlier, that story could still change two or three more times before the game.
I mean, didn't we feel the same way after the helmet situation ended? It's like, oh, okay, cool, it's done.
It's
now
done,
I can play
and
football.
Then it went,
and
came back up again.
I think, you know, it's listen to a few of his teammates talk about it. AB went a little further into his apology. He said he talked to Mike Mayock one-on-one, which
good.
I think was a necessity in order for this to really happen.
When you threaten to punch your general manager in the face, even if you want to do it, it's probably not the best look.
You know what's interesting? I was listening to the NFL Network on Sirius Radio yesterday, and I can't remember what player it was. It might have been Larry Fitzgerald, actually. And they're asking him about those type. No, you know who it was? It was Tiki Barber. Okay. And he was talking about how those incidents happen, but usually everybody in the room knows he doesn't really mean it. But he was saying that he didn't think that Antonio Brown distinguishes between getting to an altercation with a player and getting into an altercation with a GM, whereas most guys distinguish the two.
One's a boss.
Right.
Another's a peer.
He sees it as the same. So,
yeah.
That could be somewhat of a problem, right?
You know, I heard a caller on Coach's show earlier in the week, and he had a really well thought out call. And he was saying that, you know, and of course this is all speculation and all that, but it could be the early signs of CTE.
And, I mean, that's what Ben is – I think that's what Ben is
getting. Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Sorry about that. All right.
Can we just pause quickly for station identification? Right. Allow me a chance to shake my head.
All right.
KWFN-FM and KWFN-HD1 San Diego. A radio.com sports station.
This is Will Myers from the San Diego Padres.
The Padres play here.
Crushed and a half, Will. Two-run home run, 11-0.
The Padres play here on 97.3 The Fan.
Another instance in which Scraby is sitting right here
and
not
talking,
listening.
We're talking about the fact that Ben Higgins said, you know, maybe AB's suffering from a little CTE, and then Scraby jumps in like he's got the
best
coolest thing ever
time.
To take, and he says the same thing.
It's so Scraby, though, right?
You are so Scraby.
You know,
you are so Scraby.
You know, I just wanted to make sure we get some love to Coach's show.
That's
that
what it was.
That's what I did.
Is that what it was?
That's why I did it. That's why I did it. I blame it on Thomas, though, for
don't
whatever reason.
Stop making excuses, Thomas. Rocky Long doesn't like that.
Thomas, I just want you to know.
Competitors don't make excuses. They just make plays.
That's it.
If the Steelers pull off this upset, you know I'm coming in hot next week.
Yep.
Coming in hot.
All right, what's your favorite? We got like 1 minute. What's your favorite thing you're looking forward to watching this week? Because there's a lot going on. College football,
Tom
NFL.
Brady.
Oh, really?
That's what he's going to say.
Oh, no, I'm not asking Thomas.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking.
Oh, I thought you were asking Thomas.
I don't care what Thomas is doing this weekend.
I think I'm looking forward to Monday Night Football, honestly. Denver and Oakland, I'm looking forward to that game.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the SC-Stanford game. I'm looking forward to the State-UCLA game.
Yes.
I'm also looking forward to seeing the Jets. I'm really looking forward to seeing Le'Veon Bell back on the field.
I think Aztecs-UCLA will be my number one priority this weekend. Try to beat the Bruins for the first time ever. And I will go off the board here and say that I am always interested in the U.S. Open tennis final.
Oh, yes.
Serena Williams
definitely
does have a chance to tie the
we'll
all-time record
well
this weekend if she wins her 24th Grand Slam.
She's facing off against the young lady that she had to retire from and with a back injury the last tournament before the
That's
U.S.
Right.
Open.
So, yeah, Andreescu or something.
I couldn't say her name.
And I just went for it. But that'll be the U.S. Open Women's Final tomorrow. All right, we want to thank our crack support staff led by our producer.
What's his name?
Nat Scraby.
There you go.
Who just said that?
I got something really, really cool to say, guys.
You didn't want to hear what I was looking forward to?
Thomas Andrews, thank you very much. Tony Gwynn Jr., have a great weekend, buddy.
You too.
Stay tuned. Padres pregame next. Glenn and Chris, hope you enjoyed. We'll talk to you Monday at 3 on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.